ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 63, Lord Krishna's fight with Banasura. Text number 46. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Yat Atta Bhagavam Stamna Yat Atta Bhagavam Stamna Karavama Priyamtava Karavama Priyamtava Bhavato Yadvyavasitam Bhavato Yadvyavasitam Tanme Sattvanumoditam Tanme Sattvanumoditam Sri Bhagavan Vacha Yat Atta Bhagavam Stamna Karavama Priyamtava Bhavato Yat Vivasitam Tanme Sattvanumoditam. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. The Supreme Lord said, Yad, what? Atta have spoken. Bhagavan, O Lord, Tvam, you, Na, to us, Karavama, we should do, Priyam, the gratifying. Tava of you. Bhavata by you. Yat what? Vyavasitam determine. Tat that. Me by me. Sadhu well. Anumoditam agreed with. Translation. The Supreme Lord said, "My dear Lord, for your pleasure, we must certainly do what you have requested of us. I fully agree with your conclusion." Purport. We should not think it strange that the Supreme Lord Krishna here addresses Lord Shiva as Bhagavan, Lord. All living beings are part and parcel of the Lord, qualitatively one with Him. And Lord Shiva is an especially powerful, pure entity who possesses many of the Supreme Lord's qualities. Just as a father is happy to share his riches with a beloved son, so the Supreme Lord happily invests pure living beings with some of his potency and opulence. And just as a father proudly and happily observes the good qualities of his children, the Lord is most happy to glorify the pure living beings who are powerful in Krishna consciousness. Thus, the Supreme Lord is pleased to glorify Lord Shiva by addressing him as Bhagavan. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Yat Atta Bhagavan Swamina, Karvama Priyam Tava, Bhavato Yat Vyavasitam Tanme Sattva Numoditam. Translation again. The Supreme Lord said, "My dear..." No, they repeat, okay. The Supreme Lord said, "My dear Lord, for your pleasure, we must certainly do what you have requested of us. I fully agree with your conclusion." Om Akyana Timrandasya Akinanjana Slakaya Shakshumaritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishabdaya Krishna Prasapalin Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namne. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivise Sasanyodi Pasichade Shatarine. So the point mentioned here is how actually the word Bhagavan is used twice. Interestingly enough, where Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead is addressing Lord Shiva as Bhagavan also. So Prabhupada has explained that sometimes great personality like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they are also addressed as Bhagavan. So as stated in the purport, here is translated Bhagavan, Lord, O Lord. In fact, when Prabhupada referred to Jesus Christ, he said Lord Jesus Christ. He said Lord Jesus Christ. So after all, Lord Shiva is a very, very special personality, very, very powerful. He's described in the Brahma Samhita. He is like Krishna, but at the same time, he's not. In the Brahma Samhita, it's stated that is compared. Krishna is like milk, and Lord Shiva is like yogurt. Yogurt is nothing but the transformation of milk, but at the same time, you cannot transform yogurt back to milk. So, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has so many wonderful qualities. And the living entity, being qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, also can possess these qualities, but to a minute degree. I say that Krishna has the 50 qualities, describing the nectar of devotion. And the living being, if they are pure, they can also possess these 50 qualities, although in small quantity. And above that, Krishna has another 5 qualities, which Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva may also possess. That becomes 55. But there's 5 more qualities that even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma do not possess. That is possessed by Narayan. And then you have four special qualities that only Krishna possess, which even Narayan does not manifest. And those four special qualities are that Krishna, he performs wonderful pastimes. And he is always surrounded by fully surrendered devotees. And he's attracting all human entities in the whole universe by the playing of his flute. And he's extremely beautiful and attractive. That's why he's called Krishna. Sometimes, in the perfect question, perfect answer, when Prabhupada was describing the name of God as Krishna, this person, who is now known as Brahmatirtha Prabhu, you ask us, but he's also known as God is great. Say, yeah. Prabhupada just branched. That's all attractive. Means it's all attractive. Therefore, Krishna is the perfect name. So, Lord Shiva, after all, he's the Gunavata. He's the incarnation of Krishna overseeing the mode of passion. Mode of ignorance. And he's the Lord of destruction. At the end of the creation, Lord Shiva will destroy everything. And to be able to destroy, you have to be very empowered. Whether it's to create, to maintain, or to destroy, you have to be very powerful. You have to have some Shakti. In fact, in the Bhagavad Krishna, Krishna same, he was describing all the different opulences of all fishes under shark, and all great immovable things under Himalayas and so on. And basically, he's just describing just a fraction. Krishna is saying, this is all just a fraction of my opulences. Whatever great things we see in this world, actually a devotee can appreciate. Oh, this person is just manifesting a small, minute quantity of Krishna's opulences. Therefore, the devotee, they see things very differently. The pure devotee of the Lord, they see things differently. Sometimes, the neophyte, they may be on the neti-neti process. They say, this is Maya, that is Maya, this is Maya, everything is Maya. But the pure devotee, due to their advanced vision, they see how they can appreciate. Yes, this is beautiful. This material world is beautiful. After all, this is Krishna's creation. This is so wonderful. How wonderful is Krishna's creation? How majestic it is. I remember the first time I came to Sweden, I was traveling with a friend, and we went up north to the North Pole. And we jumped on a train, and we didn't know that the train was going nowhere. It ended up in somewhere, in the middle of nowhere, and there was no other train coming out. We didn't check properly. So the only thing that was there was just a resort or the hotel. So we had no choice, we had to stay in the hotel one night. But we went for a walk. We looked at I was looking at the mountains. And I was just thinking, I was not a devotee at the time, but I was thinking, just see the wonder of God's creation. It's so majestic looking at these mountains, so majestic. Therefore we can appreciate Lord Shiva. Is addressed here because he is very, very powerful personality and possess wonderful qualities. And also, a devotee worship and respect Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam yata sambhu. Of all Vaishnava, he's the greatest. He's always in deep meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and one interesting point here, as I was reading this Leela, is that how Krishna is so eager to please his devotees, even though Lord Shiva had just had a fight with him. He was fighting on the side of Banasura, and they just had a fight. And then Lord Shiva is here, he's appealing to Krishna to please not kill his devotee, Banasura. After all, Banasura is devotee of Lord Shiva. He has performed nice service to Lord Shiva, as you read in the yesterday's verse. And with his thousand arms, he was playing on the drum. Like Nishinga Kawaja Prabhu was saying, he must be playing some fancy beats with a thousand arms. When Lord Shiva was doing the Tandava dance. So he has pleased Lord Shiva. And as a result, Lord Shiva was fighting on his behalf. So even now, after that, Lord Shiva is appealing to Krishna, I was pleased, no, don't kill Banasura. And also, after all, he's also the descendant of Bali Maharaj and Prahlad, or two great Mahajans, the 12 Mahajans. So these two Mahajans, although they're born in the family of demons, Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, they are known as two of the great Mahajans. And Lord Shiva is also one of the Mahajans. I describe that Mahajana Yenakata Sapanta. That verse from the Mahabharata is explaining that the one is not known as a great philosopher unless he creates his own philosophy. So in this way, all these philosophers, they're always arguing with one another. Always futile argument that does not lead anywhere. But actually, the truth of the matter remains a secret to all these mental speculators. And it is hidden in the heart of the pure devotees. Therefore, if you want to learn the truth, you have to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. Mahajana Yena Kata Sapanta. And the 12 Mahajans are listed. Swambhu, Narada, Sambhu. Swambhu is Lord Brahma. Narada, Sambhu is Lord Shiva. Then you have Prahlad. You have Bhishma, Kapila, Kumaras, Janaka, Bani Maharaj. Prahlad, did I mention Prahlad? Who else? Who else was missing out? Dhruva? No, that's mentioned first line. Already mentioned. Narada already. Swambhu, Narada, Sambhu. Anyway, check it out yourself. It's Chomad. Oh, Yamaraj. Yeah. Dhruva is not one of the Mahajans. Oh, speculation. That means you're not reading Prabhupada's books. Coming out all speculations. Forgetting is one thing, but speculating is something else. So Lord Shiva is appealing to Krishna. Please do not kill. Lord Krishna, because the devotees, they're very dear to Krishna. Krishna is very dear to the devotees. Actually, there's a competition always between Krishna and his devotees. The devotee is always thinking of how to serve Krishna and how to please Krishna and offer everything to Krishna. And Krishna is receiving all this offering of love, and he thought, oh, my devotees is so nice offering me all this. Let me give him back more. And the devotee thinking, oh, Krishna is so kind. He's giving me so much. Let me offer everything back to Krishna. And Krishna is also offering back more. In this way, the exchanges of love is always increasing. That's the nature of the spiritual realm. Everything is always increasing. There's no stagnation. And that's why, also in our devotional service, devotional service has to be something that is always in motion. We can never think that, oh, I've done enough. I've done enough, and I'm going to take a break. I surrendered enough to Krishna. I done enough service to Krishna. I'm going to take a break now. Because devotional service, as some devotee is compared like an arrow. An arrow aiming, to fall at the lotus feet of Krishna. It's always in motion. As soon as the arrow starts, oh, I've flown enough kilometers in the air. I'm going to take a break now. Boop! You fall. So when we stop our devotional service before, Maya catch up. we are trying to move ahead of Maya, and soon it's, oh, I've done it now. I take a break. In the mic. Yes, take a break. I'm going to give you a long break. So this is loving exchange, very nice. as comparison to the material world, things, after a while, things become stale. It's always, everything in the material world decreases. What are the six transformations of the material world? We take birth, we grow, it produces a byproducts, we remain for some time, then we start to deteriorate, and we die. The six transformations in the material world. So, in the spiritual world, everything is increasing, ever increasing. You can never put a limit to things, and that's nice. That's very nice. That's like Krishna's beauty. It's ever increasing. There's no limit to it. It's unlimitedly beautiful. Krishna is unlimitedly wealthy. Unlimitedly strong. So wonderful. Just like people that worship, they worship all these pop stars and movie stars and all these things. And after a while they get old. Their ratings start dropping. Then maybe the one day they are flavor of the month, and then the next day they are not in favor anymore. And just like the famous Australian actress Nicole Kidman here, the other day I just read an article. Her star rating is dropping. Just 1, 2 years, 3 years ago, she was like on top of the world, and now her ratings are dropping. So everything is always have a beginning and an end in the material world. But in spiritual world, there's no beginning, no end. It's always constantly expanding. So this is the nice loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. And because the devotees are fully surrendered to Krishna, Krishna is only as Bhakta Vatsala. He's especially favorable towards his devotees. Therefore, when Lord Shiva make an appeal to Krishna, Krishna said, yes, for your pleasure, we must certainly do what you have requested of us. Krishna become bound by the love of his devotees. Prabhupada once in a lecture was saying, the Mayavadis, they work so hard, perform so much austerities to become one with the Supreme. But in Vrindavan, the coward boys, they're climbing on the back of the Supreme. They do not want to become one with the Supreme. They climb on the back of Krishna and say, now you lost, you carry me. You carry me here, you carry me there. That's how superior actually the platform of the devotees are. And what they're experiencing is so much more superior than what the Mayavadis are experiencing. So Krishna is saying, yes, I'll certainly do what you have requested. And that brings another point in the discussion. How Banasura, although he was a demon, he was fighting against Krishna. He was against the marriage between Aniruddha, Krishna's grandson, and his daughter Usha. He was very upset with that. He kept him a prisoner. So Krishna had to come there with his army. And they were fighting, was a big battle was going on. Many of the demigods were also involved. And yet, by the request of Lord Shiva, his devotee, Krishna forgave him. Krishna accepted Banasura. The same thing with Jaga and Madai. Jaga and Madai, they were such debauches during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He stated that when they finally became liberated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the request of Nityananda. We all know the story how Nityananda Prabhu requested them, please chant, Haribo, Haribo, chant Hare Krishna. They were so drunk, they got up and one of them picked up a broken pot and threw it at Lord Nityananda and hurt his forehead and blood was dripping. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about it, he came. Although he was Patita Pavan, the deliverer of the most fallen, but because these ruffians heard his devotee, immediately he wanted to invoke his Sudarshan Chakra to kill them. And Lord Nityananda, being such a compassionate soul, Paramakaruna, he implored Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please do not kill them. Normally what happens if someone do something bad to us and they get punished and he says, Yeah. Just see. Next time, don't make offense against me. Now you get punished and be, you know. But Nityananda said, please, your mission here is not to kill, because if you're going to kill the miscreants, there'll be nobody left in Kali Yuga. Right? Everyone's a miscreant. So your mission here is to deliver them. And by delivering these two brothers, your fame will be spread throughout the three worlds. The how. And in fact, when the secretary of Yamraj heard about it, he went to Yamraj and said, Have you heard? This is incredible. Yamraj said, what? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just delivered the Jagat and Mala, two most sinful brothers, because he was keeping track of all the sinful activities they have performed, waiting for their appearance at the court of Yamraj to be punished, you know. I said, now all my record keeping all have wiped out. And so Yamraj was asking, what's so special about them? And this secretary kept reading all the nefarious activities that these two brothers have done. Just like this morning, I was just checking the online Herald Sun, just to check the temperature, what's the temperature like today. And there was this headline article about this, the worst and most dangerous criminal in Victoria is about to be released. He was torturing one woman, is giving her unbearable pain and torturing in so many ways. But that was nothing compared to Jagat Madai. The whole list. And as this secretary was reading the list of all these activities of Jagat Madai, Yamraj just fell into a swoon. He just fell unconscious in ecstasy. How wonderful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. That even though these two brothers perform such sinful activities, yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered them at the request of Nityananda Prabhu. So we have to appreciate how powerful the devotees of the Lord are and how dear they are to Krishna. We have to really learn to appreciate this fact. Because Krishna is showing so much appreciation for his devotees. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's showing the appreciation for his devotees. The Supreme Lord. And there we cannot express those appreciation. So how much more we should be careful in our dealing with devotees. And sometimes it's very difficult to judge. I shouldn't say sometimes it's difficult to judge. We should not judge. Thus. Full stop. We should never judge a devotee. Because it's again stated in the Shastra that sometimes it's very difficult to understand the workings of a devotee. It's very difficult to understand the mind of the pure, especially the pure devotees. Therefore, a devotee, his mentality is that he will see Nityananda Prabhu walk into a liquor shop. He will think, oh, how wonderful Lord Nityananda. He has gone there to preach to the drunkards. But if we have just a little bit of enviousness in our heart, in our mind, we think, what is Lord Nityananda doing there? What is he doing in the liquor shop? What liquor is he buying? So this is the difference. So one to see, oh, this devotee is performing so wonderful activity. That's the swan. Mind of the devotee is like a swan. Very pure. Like a swan, Prabhupada explained that the swan has the ability to extract milk from the water without touching the water. So a devotee has the ability to extract the good qualities of others and overlook all the other bad qualities. Whereas a crow, they will only go for the garbage. They will not see the nectar. They're not attracted to the nectar. They're only attracted to the garbage. That's why it's described as a swan-like devotees of the Lord. But on the other hand, those who are materialistic, that they are compared to crows. And then Prabhupada, he has this quality. When he came to preach in the West, the kind of people he was preaching to, hippies, you know, taking drugs, breaking all the principles. But Prabhupada could see there was some desire there to break out from the materialistic way of thinking. You know, many of them are coming from middle class family, and they have rejected the lifestyle of the parents. They're looking for alternative. And Prabhupada would just see the tiny little spark there, and he was fanning it. He was fanning the spark until they grow and grow and grow into a blazing fire. So that's why in the Shastra, in so many places, it's enjoined that to approach Krishna, the easiest way to approach Krishna is through his devotees. And just as Jagai Madai were able to receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of Lord Nityananda, therefore we also pray to Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda is very, very kind. And by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see, who was that was saying the other day? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was preaching mainly to the intellectual classes. Those people were a bit more advanced. Who are the people he converted? You read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Sarasati. These are all pretty advanced personality. Although some of them were influenced by Mayavada. But they are great philosophers and very learned. And the preaching work for the less educated or more fallen was left to Lord Nityananda. He traveled throughout Bengal to preach. He was given Bengal as his Prabhu Datta Desh. Every year, the devotees from Bengal will come to Jagannath Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they'll stay there for a few months. So one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Lord Nityananda aside. He said, every year, you all come and you stay here for a few months. Who is going to preach to these Bengalis who are so attached to just reading dry philosophy and logic and argument? So next year, you please don't come. You stay back and preach. As painful as it was for Lord Nityananda, imagine, they're looking forward every year to go and see, have the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't come. Don't come to see me. You stay there and preach. And Lord Nityananda accepted it. This is my Prabhu Datta Desh. He preached throughout Bengal. It's just like there's Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were sent to Vrindavan. And now you stay there. Excavate the holy places of Krishna's pastime. They write books. And they stay there. And stay there as their Prabhu Datta Desh. In other words, the place of devotional service given by the Prabhu, by the Master. So we also have our Prabhu Datta Desh. The place of devotional service given by the Guru. This is our Prabhu Datta Desh. And we stay there and we do our, perform our devotional service in that place. So in this, and the spiritual master is the representative of Nityananda Prabhu. So by pleasing the spirit, serving the spiritual master attentively and pleasing the spiritual master, one also gets the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And thus get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And thus get the mercy of Radha Vallabha. So this is called the Parampara system, as taught by us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he said, Das Gopi Bhattu Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Nudasa. He said, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a grihasa, I'm not Brahmachari Varanaprasa, I'm not Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra. What am I? I'm just a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis, 1,000 times removed. Dasa, dasa, ludasa. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. How often, sometimes devotees glorify Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I'm just a servant of my Guru Maharaj. Does not take any glory. He says, I'm just a servant of my Guru Maharaj. So in this way, by serving and pleasing the pure devotee of the Lord and gaining their mercy, one gets the mercy of Krishna. We chant every morning, Yasya Prasada Bhagavad Prasada, Yasya Prasada Nagati Katopi. By receiving the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. And vice versa, if one displeases the spiritual master, he displeases Krishna. Because in that sense, spiritual master is one with Krishna. One with Krishna in the sense that they are one in their desire. And the spiritual master is one in desire with Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants, the spiritual master is doing. Or the spiritual master is doing what Krishna wants to be done. So you want to know what Krishna wants to be done? We follow the instruction of the spiritual master. And when we serve according to the instruction of the spiritual master, we know Krishna is pleased. Very simple. So even though we may be coming from backgrounds that is or previous life that are unmentionable in a Bhagavatam class, activities that we perform, but because of the mercy of the spiritual master, Krishna is accepting us. Otherwise, if we examine ourselves, what are our qualifications to receive the mercy of Krishna? What are our qualifications to engage in Krishna's service? So we are not serving directly. What we are doing, we are serving Krishna through the spiritual master. When we offer artic to the deities, take permission from a spiritual master, and actually spiritual master is offering the artic. We are doing on behalf of the spiritual master and offering the different items to Krishna. So this is the process of devotional service. And Krishna himself, he said, one who claims to be my devotee, he is not my devotee. But one who claims to be the devotee of my devotee, then he is my devotee. So therefore our goal is to always serve the Vaishnava and get the mercy of the devotee. And serving the Vaishnava means serving all Vaishnavas. There should not be this rise above the Kanista Adhikari platform who thinks, oh, I'll only serve Krishna. Or I'll only serve the spiritual master. Or I'll only serve the sannyasis. I only serve Prabhupada disciples, which is decreasing. Yesterday I was doing a search. Prabhupada had 4,723 initiated disciples. And as I go down the list looking for devotees I know, deceased, they passed away, quite a number of them has already passed away. And quite a number of them are in the 60s. In the 50s and 60s. So we should understand actually all devotees are very dear to Krishna. So when we serve and please the devotees, Krishna become very pleased. Not only just the spiritual master, not just only the sannyasis, not just only the senior devotees. We serve all devotees. This is how devotees. We just serve in different ways. This is how we relate to other devotees. We serve in different ways. Senior devotees, we serve them by offering service. We serve them with our ears, by hearing, taking instruction, inquiring. We serve one another by supporting one another. And we can serve the younger devotee by giving instruction, giving guidance. We can also serve Prasadam. So sometimes we can serve old, young, new, more seniors, junior, doesn't matter, you serve. So in this way, we want to get the mercy of all the Vaishnavas. Actually, devotees, they are like the bumblebees. The bumblebees, they're collecting nectar from the flowers. Just picking little here, little there. So we are like bumblebees. We want to collect the mercy everywhere. We are mercy seekers. Or nectar seekers. We should become nectar seekers. Always looking for the nectar. Oh, here's an opportunity. Let me do some service for this Vaishnava. Get some mercy from him. Here's some mercy from him. And that was the mood of Kalidas. In the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kalidas, his mission in life is to taste the prasadam from all the Vaishnavas. So he always invite devotees to his home and serve them very nicely and attentively. And then he will take the remnants. So one time, he invited this Brahmana. Actually, Brahmana was quite reluctant to come because he heard of the reputation of Kalidas. Always taking remnants. And this Brahmana was very humble. Vaishnava Brahmana was very humble. He said, no, I cannot. So, and finally, he came, take prasadam, and Kalidas serving. He said, no, don't worry. I will not take anything. He was serving them wisely and he was hiding behind, watching. Waiting for them to finish their prasadam so he can come and take the remnants. But the Brahmana was very careful. He took and took. And then the balance he gave to his wife. He said, make sure you eat up everything. Don't leave any So wife also took the prasad and then they threw it. And after he left, Kalidas came and took it out from the Kavi Pin where they threw out the banana leaf. And wife, oh, finally, I was able to get the mercy of this Brahmana. So he was always very eager to get the mercy from the devotees. And that's how it should be. Nectar gatherer. Gathering a little mercy here, a little there, a little here and there. And then at the end of the day, we have 100% full. Very nice. What if we the thinking that I don't need the mercy of this devotee, I don't need the mercy of that devotee. And at the time of death, we come short. Just a little short. Oh, what have I done? I'll take birth again. I will take birth again to collect the rest of the mercy. So you should think that no, on my own I cannot. I need all the help I can get. So in this way, we gain the attention of Krishna. This is the best way, easiest way to gain the attention of Krishna by pleasing his devotees, by serving the Vaishnava. Because Banasura has served Lord Shiva so nicely, and Lord Shiva became so inclined towards him, he was pleading on his behalf. And Krishna accepted Banasura. At the pleading of Lord Shiva, he accepted him. So, we should serve the Vaishnava so nicely, serve the spiritual master so nicely, the spiritual master is offering to Krishna. He said, here's this devotee. He's serving you so nicely. And that's also what Radharani is doing. Radharani is just always pushing devotees toward Krishna. I say, please accept this devotee. They are better devotees than me. They can serve you so much nicer than I am. So he's offering everyone. It's often stated that when we are preaching and we're distributing books, we are performing, assisting Srimati Radharani in her service. Just directing living entity, please accept this living entity. Just directing them towards Krishna. Please accept them. That's why, again, it became so dear. So dear to Krishna. So our purpose in life is to serve. Not just to serve. But our duty in life is to serve and to please. Sometimes we may have the service attitude. But our service attitude has to combine with the reason why I'm doing this service is to please. It's just like, for example, a sannyasi may be visiting or just any devotee visiting. We're so eager to do service and cook something for that devotee, but without trying to find out whether this person, this devotee, has any particular diet. All we're thinking is, in other words, we are not thinking of the person we are serving. We are thinking of myself. I want to get some credit. You know, I want to build up my spiritual credit. I want to do some service. So that service is not pleasing. We are just kind of imposing that service on that person. But more pleasing service, you find out what that person's diet is, what are his preferences. Just like the other day, Japa Maharaj was here, the devotees were asking, Guru Maharaj, what would you like to eat for breakfast tomorrow? Would you like something different, some different varieties? Now that's service. It's not difficult. All you have to do is just ask, what would you like? So the devotee should be always thinking, if any, how to serve. Otherwise, Prabhu, what can I do to make you happy? What can I do to please you? In fact, actually, this is the main question that every leader, every manager should be asking. What can I do to please this devotee? What can I do to make this devotee happy? I remember one time when I first came to Finland. I was newly appointed as the regional secretary for Finland. And the yatra has gone through quite some problem. And the morale of the temple is very, very low. And they had a new temple president installed. So there were a lot of problems, especially from the older devotees living outside. And they were giving temple president a lot of problems. They could not accept him. And some other G's were really cooking things up there. So what I did, I just called all of them for a meeting and tried to hear out what the grievances were. And actually, I already know the grievances because I was hearing all these things. So I did a preemptive strike at the meeting. At the beginning of the meeting, I was just saying, yes, this temporary person, he's like that. Maybe he's not the most qualified person. He has discrepancies. And I could feel the temple person was sitting there very uncomfortable. And I said, do you have a better choice? Do you have a better candidate that we can consider? Nobody said anything. I said, if we don't have a better candidate, he's the best candidate we got, let's support him. And by supporting him, he'll do a job far beyond his abilities, far beyond his qualification. And then there was one Mataji was agitating. I just turned to her and said, Mataji, what can I do to make you happy? What can I do for you? And Mataji said, I want to give Bhagavatam class in temple. I said, all right. It can be arranged. I want to have a class to teach Kirtan to devotees. It shall be done. I want to have a column in the temple newsletter. I say, yeah, the editor just asked me to write a column. You can have that. You can have that column. So, anything else? Nothing more. So she was happy. In and out, she didn't do anything. None of those things. So sometimes people just, you know, but the idea was, if it make you happy, you want to do some service, go ahead, do it. We support you. As long as you're sincerely wanting to do service. That's what a manager and leader's job is, to facilitate everyone's service. So if we develop this mentality, this right attitude in our Krishna consciousness, the path of Krishna consciousness becomes very simple. It becomes very easy. And why it becomes easy? Because you're getting all the blessings from all the Vaishnavas all the time. If you're getting blessings and mercy from all the Vaishnavas all the time, doesn't that make our life so much more easier? Doesn't that make our effort easier? Then we are not struggling on our own anymore. We're trying to make some progress, make some endeavor to progress in Krishna consciousness. At the same time, we are supported by so many devotees. Even if we want to fall, we can't fall because there are so many devotees around us, keeping us afloat and moving us along. Huh? Sometimes when you're in a big crowd and rushing forward, all you have to do is just go with the flow. It's so effortless. Because everyone is pushing forward, you just go along with it. But if you're on the own, like climbing mountains. But in a group, the fury of the whole group just push us along. And that's what we want. Everyone just getting mercy from one another, and then we just as a group advance. That was one nice thing that Ravindra Swarup Prabhu said once, right after the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, when we walk around in 9 islands of Navadvip, staying in different islands. On the last day, before coming back to Mayapuchandradhara Mandir, we stopped at Yogapith, the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So different devotees were speaking their realization and all that. And Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he said, after taking part in this Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, I came to the conclusion that if we were to go back home, back to Godhead, we have to go back together. It's not an individual effort. Either we go back together or we don't. If we try to make go back home, back to Godhead ourselves, it's very difficult. Besides, it's very lonely. You know? It's very lonely. But when it's together, it's so much more fun. It's so much easier. That's why it's called the Sankirtan movement. We perform Sankirtan together. I was listening to a lecture by Devananda Maharaj just yesterday. I was saying, someone was asking a question. He said, in our Sampradaya, we never recommend this solitary bhajan. Never. Someone was saying, yeah, but Prabhupada was retiring. So he was not retired. Prabhupada, even when he was staying in Vrindavan, he was not retired. He was preparing himself. He was doing his translation work. And all the time he was traveling back and forth to Delhi, Vrindavan, Delhi, Vrindavan to do his publishing, to do his distribution. So even though he was in Vrindavan, actually he was not retired. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was chanting. In solitary confinement he was chanting. But he was chanting to prepare for his preaching work. So, the devotees in our acharya, in our sampradaya, we're not bhajanandis, we're gosthyanandis. We're always out preaching. Preaching the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sharing this mercy. So in this way, by pleasing Krishna, by fine-tuning our life in such a way, that we're doing what the spiritual master and what Krishna wants, we become empowered. Krishna Shakti Vinana He Tara Pravatana. Only one who is empowered by Krishna can spread Krishna consciousness. So therefore you can see anyone who is successful in preaching Krishna consciousness, we know this person is empowered by Krishna. That's Krishna Shakti. In fact, anyone who is able to distribute Krishna consciousness, even in a small way, is empowered by Krishna. Because if you are not empowered by Krishna, you cannot distribute Krishna consciousness. If you are not empowered by Krishna, you cannot do any wonderful things. Sometimes it's even deities worship. If you see how wonderfully the deities, because Shakti, by the Shakti of Krishna, this person becomes inspired to decorate Krishna in certain ways. Because Krishna is a person. Sometimes he wants to be dressed in certain ways. And he can inspire the devotees. You know? It's not only the devotees thinking, oh, how should I dress Krishna? The pujari is meditating, how should I dress Krishna today? Sometimes Krishna also can say, I have to dress a person. I want to be dressed this way today. Why not? No? So there's this personal reciprocation between devotees and Krishna. Oh, going a little long. So are there any questions or comments? Yes?
First of all, thank you very much for a wonderful class.
Thank you very much for saying that.
Yesterday I was reading one purport in the third canto of Bhagavatam. The Prabhupada said that we are in a criminal department. We all are criminals. And that's why 1/4 of the total part is 1/4 is material world and 3/4 is spiritual. And we have to get out of this as early as possible. If we have got even a little bit of sense. So by association of devotees, by chanting, what you are saying, you can easily get out. We must try to get out by taking a ticket and getting out as quick as possible. And till we are here, we have to teach.
Thank you. Yeah, this material is a jailhouse. And because we are in this jailhouse, that means we are criminals. Only criminals are in jail. We broke the cardinal law. Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned that we should not judge the devotees. But I feel that we always judge devotees because we want to be an association of the devotees who have integrity. So in that way, we always try to see whether the devotee with whom we are associating is in the proper, he has a proper mood or he is just a kind of other.
Well, when you use the word judge, we're judging. There's a point that you want to associate with devotees who are more advanced and take shelter and learn from them, but that's not judging. We see and we are appreciating how this devotee is manifesting such wonderful qualities. This devotee is doing such wonderful service. This devotee is very advanced. It's not judging. We are appreciating it. Judging is like a court. He is this, he is that. It also carry different connotations sometimes, the word. I remember I read one book. I think that must be from Dale Carnegie. It's a very famous self-motivation book. It's How to Win Friends, Influence People. One of the chapters, in the end, he was quoting someone that even he was speaking against about judging someone. And he said, even God does not judge someone until the time of death. But we think we are so great that we have to judge people at every moment of the day. So that's not judging. Alright? Is that clear or not?
But you mentioned about devotees who are doing a good service and quite advanced.
Yeah.
But apart from that, you might have a devotee who is. You might not like some things which they are doing. So the things you don't like is something you judge them better. He's not doing this correctly.
No, I think judging someone is more harsh. I mean, it's not that we are blind. Just because we are devotees, it doesn't mean we are blind to everything. We see someone who is very serious devotee, very sincere, making a lot of endeavors to advance in Krishna consciousness. Then others, they may be a bit slack. We don't judge them. We see things, but we don't judge them. And when you judge someone, you also sentence the person. It's just like in the court, when you judge, you're sentencing that person. Now you're making a judgment call on that person. So we see, but we are not making a judgment call on that person. That he's like this, he's like that. No, we see things. It's funny, my phone is making different sounds when it calls. Sometimes it's this tune, sometimes that tune, or something I don't even know. I put it on the Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna, but sometimes it comes to this, I don't know why. Does that make it clear? So we see things. So when we see some is not behaving properly, this thing, we may want to keep some distance. It's just like it's recommended. With neophyte devotee, we offer our respect. He's someone who's chanting Hare Krishna, but his behavior may not be too, let's say, Vaishnava or, you know, right on. We offer our respect. He's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Prabhu. But we don't associate. That's not making judgment. That's an intelligent decision. No? We have to apply our intelligence in our Krishna service, not just sentimental and just blind following. Oh, anyone who has a tilak on, I should take shelter. No. Yes, ma'am.
Can I add something to what you're saying? Sometimes we have to judge in our mind that somebody is very vicious, like a poison snake, you know. So you have to avoid their complete ability. So I think that's what Prabhu is saying. That even in the temple, you know, sometimes people can be there. They can be so difficult to get on that you might have to leave the temple, just sit in and fly out of the country. So you have to put up with those things. So probably what he is saying is,
It's also when we talk about judgment, it's also the, you see very often when we preach, we use different terminologies, and often we have to explain those terminologies because sometimes it's used differently in ISKCON, it carries different meaning in ISKCON and then what is normally, you know, how is normally used. Like for example, when we talk about false ego. In outside of ISKCON, what do you mean when it's false ego? Some is proud. No? Sometimes even within the devotee community, you think, oh, such false ego he has. He's so proud and arrogant and like that. But false ego means false identity. Ego means identity. No, it's false identity reacting to all this. So it's terminology, how it's used and applied. So normally when you say we're judging someone, it's a bit more harsh that you are actually putting a sentence on that person. It's a harsh decision thing. But just observing and seeing it is not necessarily means you're judging that person. Does that clarify thing? Hope so. Yes.
Lord Shiva is the biggest Vaishnava. So why don't we celebrate the
Mahashivaratri? It's just like the Devas, they're also demigod. I was going through the Veda base. I was trying to find the Veda base yesterday to prepare the class and find a little more about Lord Shiva. I don't know, maybe I didn't do a proper search or I could not find one that. I find one, vedabase.net or whatever. It's just information about the Veda base. And then I was reading this part written by Jayavita Swami. He was giving instruction, guidance, how to use the Veda base. How Prabhupada instruction, the different level of authority, even from Prabhupada's books and writings. The first is level is the books that he wrote, which he wrote for the public. And then you have the lectures. Sometimes it's according to time, place, circumstances. Sometimes it applies to everyone. Then you have the conversations, you know, which may apply only to one person, but not applicable to another person. Letters, like that. So in one of these he was quoting, as, on one hand, Prabhupada has told someone that, yes, you can worship Ganapati, Lord Ganapati, Ganesha. He's the remover of obstacles. So you worship him to remove obstacles on the path of devotional service. Then in another letter he said, it's not necessary to do it.
And then there was one devotee was asking for permission to worship Ganesh. And Lord Shiva said, Prabhupada said, yes, you can worship Ganesh because he's a bestower of wealth. If you can give me $100,000 a day, then you can start worshipping Ganesha. You can worship a belt, right? So you must be getting lakhs and lakhs every day. So, similarly, you see, when they're worshipping Lord Shiva on Shiva Rachi, they're not worshipping him as the greatest Vaishnava. Shivaratri, they don't celebrate as Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava. They're worshipping him thinking that he's the supreme. That is the Shaivites. The Shaivites will argue that Lord Shiva is the supreme. So we do not take part in this. It's the same thing as like Jagat Guru. Prabhupada doesn't like as a chant, Jai Jagat Guru. There's nothing wrong. Prabhupada, it was Jagat Guru. He actually preached all over the world. But the way it's been used, everyone, even so-called sannyasi who has never left the village, they are called Jagat Guru. So it becomes cheap. The word becomes cheap. The Prabhupada doesn't want us to chant. Right. Understand? Another. Nice, your Prabhupada ki jai.